Morning, everybody. Nice to see you all. This nice weather and this nice place, and we know that God will join us this morning. I'm just going to run through what's going to happen this morning. This morning we'll be singing a few songs, and we'll be having a bit of a prayer time. And I've got a reflection, a testimony to bring, and we've got prayers and Bible readings. And if anybody feels comfortable sitting down, then please feel free to sit down. And if not, then just stand up and praise God. And the collection will be taken during the service. And please feel free to let the bags pass if you give electronically. And then we do have the children's sponsor pot. And so that goes to the children that we support and a sponsor. So I think that's it. Is it tea and coffee?
Yes,
tea and coffee after. So that's good. So before we come to God in prayer, I just want to invite in no particular order. Sue Thompson first would like to share, and then I think George would like to share something. Okay.
You probably have picked up that the Christian Aid bike ride is next week. Starts next Sunday and goes through for the week. And Mark cycles, and I do plants and tea and coffee. I am constantly grateful to Susie and Stuart Warburton for their help in this. So what I'm going to say next doesn't apply to them. I can't do it this year. I've got sciatica. I've had it since January, and I'm waiting for an X-ray to see what's happening with my hip. If you could help, particularly next Saturday morning. Normally on the Saturday morning, Mark and I go and put the Christian Aid envelopes through Forge Fields. And that's 120 envelopes. We do that and with an invitation to the bike ride. I can't do the envelopes. I can't do the letter boxes this year. I can't bend down and I can't reach up. So if somebody could do my half of Forge Fields, that would be wonderful. And I can't carry trays of tea and coffee. If somebody could help me on one of the mornings in that week, mornings or afternoons in that week, to just with the refreshments, particularly the carrying of stuff around. See me afterwards, and I have a list. I already have one volunteer. Thank you.
I forgot it was me. Just to say that the guided walk this afternoon, the nature walk, is on for anybody who's interested. With our friends of Arosha, meeting at the crosses, Samatch crosses, at 2:30 p.m. If you want to sort of see what's living out there.
Thank you. Well, just come before God, just to welcome God in. Lord, Heavenly Father, we just come this morning, and we are so honoured to be able to worship you in this school, Lord. And that, Lord, we can bring our prayers and our songs and hymns to you. And Lord, so we just pray now, Lord, that Lord, you will just come and fill each one of us, fill us up. And Lord, I especially pray for Sue, Lord, as she's struggling with the sciatica. I, Lord, pray that, Lord, she will get an MRI soon, and that, Lord, she will be able to see what's happening, Lord, there with her hip. Lord, it's not nice, as I know, and I just pray for her now, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, that you will just make it bearable till she can, Lord, go to get it seen to. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're just going to sing an old hymn, and we're just going to sing verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, and verse 5. The King of Love, my shepherd is.
Thank you.
going to read some short overviews of the good news, and Isaiah 43, Isaiah 44, and Isaiah 45, but they're just short overviews. A promise from the Creator. God the Creator says, "Fear not, Israel, for I have redeemed you. I have given you my name, and you are mine. When you pass through the deep waters, they will not overcome you. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned. You are precious to me, and I love you. Do not be afraid. I will bring your children back from the east and west, north and south." An outpouring of blessings. The Lord who made you says, "I have chosen you. I made you in the womb and chose you. Do not be afraid, for I will pour water on those who are thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your children and my blessings on your descendants. The Lord, the King of Israel, says, I am the first, I am the last. Beside me there is no God. I made you, Israel, and I will not forget you. I have blotted out your transgressions. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Let the heavens sing and the earth shout, for the Lord has redeemed Israel. Jerusalem shall again be built, and the temple foundation shall be laid again. Salvation for people worldwide. God says, bring people from all nations and tell them there is no other God beside me, the God of justice and salvation. Look to me and be saved, people all over the earth, for I am God and there is none other. Every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall give me allegiance." Amen. So may God add those few words from Isaiah. So we're going to sing now an oldish song again. Come, let us sing of a wonderful Lord. So I'm just going to share Psalm 73, and this is the good news as well. God is good to those who have a pure heart, but as for me, my feet have almost slipped, my steps are failing. because I was envious when I saw how foolish wicked people prosper and how death looks easy for them and they don't have any troubles like other people and they have all they want. They are corrupt and they boast against the heavens and they say, how can God know? And how does God know everything? These are the ungodly ones who prosper in the world and increase in riches. I felt I had wasted my time keeping my life pure. When I thought like this, it all seemed too hard to understand until I went into God's sanctuary. And then I understood their end. I realized that they will become desolate in a moment. Like waking from a dream, they will be ended. Then I was grieved when I saw how foolish and ignorant I had been. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. So we're just going to come now into a time of worship. And we're just going to sing three short songs, and we all know them. So please just either sit, stand, raise your hands, or just worship God in this short time. So we're going to sing Overwhelmed by Love, More Power, Such Love. And in the last one, Such Love, can we take the collection, please?
You are
Lord, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this money, Lord, that we so generously give each week, Lord, to our mission and to our church. And we just thank you, Lord, that we have so much that, Lord, enables us, Lord, to be so generous, Lord, in this church and to support all the things, Lord, that we support. And we just thank you for the children, Lord, that these monies go so far, Lord, to helping them, Lord, live a better life and to have things, Lord, that they wouldn't generally have. And, Lord, so we're just so grateful, Lord, that we can give to this ministry, Lord, and the people that we support, Lord, in this way. So do bless, Lord, these monies, for we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, so I just wanted to share what God laid on my heart to bring this morning. So, as you all know, me and Susie have been to Spring Harvest And we were truly blessed at Spring Harvest. And before I went to Spring Harvest, I was undergoing tests, MRI and ultrasound and biopsy, waiting for results. And the doctor phoned me just before I was due to go on the Friday. He phoned me as we were due to go on the Monday. And I thought, oh no, dear, you know, as you do. So she just said it was nothing to worry about. She said that I could still go to Spring Harvest and what a wonderful time, you know, it's going to be. So I just had a word with her, sharing what it was. And so she said, but come in on Monday. We'll get you in on Monday and we'll do some more tests. So that was that. So, yeah, so the theme at Spring Harvest this year, it's going on for 3 years, and this is the first year of the theme, The Greatest Story, and it's beginning, middle, and end. So the beginning, creation and fall, redemption and perfection. And Leon Evans did the Bible studies, and I must say he was absolutely fantastic. So the worship was so powerful at night gatherings, which is where we went to every night, except for one night we tried somewhere else, but we came back to that one. And it was Lou Fellington and Emmanuel Smith. And they sung throughout, people going up to the front and the worship. They sang this song, and I just want to just say some words out of it. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, because I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till dark addiction starts to break, declaring it, there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Because your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. And there's more, but the words as they were singing that song really spoke to me. And so what spoke to me most that night, and it was the last night actually that this happened, what spoke to me most was about strongholds in our lives and in my life, and that God can break every one of them. And strongholds represent areas of a person's life where negative influences such as depression, anxiety, fear, sin have established a powerful hold, making it difficult to break free. Fear and doubt in 2 Corinthians 10:5 mentions breaking every thought captive to a obedience of Christ, suggesting that persistent fear and doubt can form strongholds that hinder trust in God and his promises. And I sort of studied all this because God did speak to me that night. And sin and addiction, the Bible speaks how sin, including addictions like anger, rejection or shame, can create strongholds that disconnect us from the peace of God and leads to unhealthy patterns of behaviour. And a few weeks, like I say, before Spring Harvest, I was having fear and doubts. I must admit, they did creep in. But I knew underneath that God had it under control. And so that last night of the worship meeting, the leader spoke about, where are we tonight? Are we in the middle? Waiting for things to happen, waiting on health issues, need strongholds breaking? And I knew that was a word for me, and I just had to sit down. Everybody was just standing up. We couldn't go to the front because there was too many. There wasn't enough leaders to pray with everybody. And so I just sat down, and the Holy Spirit took over my whole body, and God's peace and presence was amazing. And I just knew from that moment that I was going to be okay. And so when I got back, after that, I sat down and I got up, but I was experienced like a bad pain right in my arm here, and I don't know whether it's muscular from my neck, because I get neck muscular spasms. I have to things for that, and it was so painful. But I wasn't praying for that. I was praying for my results. And when I moved out of that place, this arm just, I could feel it here, but not like it was. And I just thought, hallelujah, praise the Lord. But I wasn't praying for that in the first place. I was just praying for my test results and stuff. So God is good, and He just comes to us when we're not even praying for that situation. And so when I got back, I did go to Leighton, and I had to have an ultra scan again. She says, I can't see anything. She says, I can't see anything to worry about, but you will get a letter in 2 weeks. And so, last weekend, I got the letter to praise God to say that everything was okay. And if I find it, just go back. But praise God, He just moves in mysterious ways. And I just needed to share that with you this morning. And so, we're just going to come into a time of prayer now. And I worship you, Almighty God, there is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace, that is what I love to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God, there is none like you. Thank you, Jesus, that there is none like you, that you are our Almighty God, and that, Lord, you see the beginning, you see the middle, and you also see the end. And so, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for this morning where we can just draw around and just be quiet and be still in your presence. Lord, I thank you that you are our righteousness. And, Lord, I just thank you that you are here this morning. And I also thank you, Lord, that you do break strongholds. And that, Lord, we know we all have them, Lord, in different ways. But, Lord, you can break them. You can break every chain, Lord, and you can bring us to that place, Lord, where we are just in awe of you. And your name is the highest, and your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name stands above them all. And Lord, I just thank you that your name is higher than ever, any other, that, Lord, you stand above everything. You are our authority. Lord, you are in control. And I just, Lord, I just pray that, Lord, for our nation. I pray, Lord, that you will be in control, Lord, at this moment in time, in this chaos. Lord, that you will have the authority, that you will have the control, Lord, over our governments and over everything, Lord, that concerns us, Lord. And, Lord, we just come to you, our one and only true God. Lord, you are life, Lord, and your fire burns, Lord, throughout this nation, throughout our world. Your fire, Lord, burns. Hallelujah, Jesus, we just thank you for that. And, Lord, as we bring our closer to home, Lord, with our church family, Lord, I just bring each one that's gathered here, Lord, in your name. Lord, receiving from you, I just pray for each one, Lord, that you will have a special message, a special word, Lord, for each one. Lord, we are unique. Lord, we are all individuals, but we are special to you. And you love each one of us so much. And Lord, we just can't comprehend that love. We can't comprehend how you can just come down and just sit right where we are, Lord, next to us. We sometimes struggle, Lord, to understand just how powerful you are and how powerful prayer is, Lord. And so this morning, Lord, we just bring those, Lord, that are in hospital, Lord. We remember Jonathan Sturck, Lord, he's up and down, but Lord, he is really poorly at the moment. And I just pray, Lord, for Betty. Lord, as she's goes in, Lord, to see her son, and Lord, that can't be easy, as we know. So I just pray, Lord, for them both this morning as we remember them in our prayers. And I pray for George Bayliss, Lord, as he's in hospital once again. And for Kay, Lord, as she supports him and she goes to see him. Lord, I pray you'll be specially close, Lord, to them at this time. And Lord, I just pray for those who are waiting tests and hospital appointments and surgery and treatment. Lord, we just pray, Lord, for you know who they are, Lord, you know them by name. And I just pray for each one, Lord, that they will have your peace. Lord, that you will, Lord, just be with them and that they will trust in you, Lord God Almighty. And for those who have recovered and those who are recovering, Lord, I just pray for those too. And I just pray and I thank you, Lord, for answered prayer. How powerful it is. And Lord, the good news, Lord, that we need to praise God for. I thank you for Anne's granddaughter, Bryony, and a partner who have just had a baby boy, Seb. And thanks for arrival for Anne's first great-grandchild. Lord, we thank you for new birth. Lord, we thank you for life. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you brought this life into this world. And Lord, so we just thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So Lord, we just bring our prayers before you. And we just, Lord, say thank you for those spoken and those unspoken. And Lord, we thank you for the way you meet us right where we are. Jesus, thank you. Amen. So I'm just going to ask Sandra now to just read Psalm 10 out of the NIV, which Alistair will bring to us in a moment.
Yourselves in times of trouble. In his arrogance, the wicked man hunts down the weak, who are caught in the schemes he devises. He boasts about the cravings of his heart. He blesses the greedy and revives the Lord. In his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. His ways are always prosperous. Your laws are rejected. He sneers at all his enemies. He says to himself, nothing will ever shake me. He swears no one will ever do me harm. His mouth is full of lies and threats. Trouble and evil are under his tongue. He lies in wait near the villages. From ambush he murders the innocent. His eyes watch in secret for his victims. Like a lion in cover he lies in wait. He lies in wait to catch a help. The helpless and drags them off in his net. His victims are crushed. They collapse. They fall under his strength. He says to himself, God will never notice. He covers his face and never sees. Arise, Lord, lift your hand, O God. Do not forget the helpless. Why does the wicked man revile God? What does he say to himself? He won't call me to account. You, God, see the trouble of the afflicted. You consider their grief and take it in hand. The victims commit themselves to you. You are the help of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked man. Call the evildoer to account for his wickedness that would not otherwise be found out. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations will perish from his hand. You, Lord, hear the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them. listen to their cry, defending the fatherless and the oppressed, so that mere earthly mortals will never strike terror again.
Thank you, Sandra. So we'll just pray for Alistair now as he comes to bring the word. Lord Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Lord's scripture. Lord, we thank you for the Psalms. And Lord, as Alistair comes to speak on Psalm 10, we just pray now, Lord, that you've, Lord, spoken to Alistair on what to bring, and that, Lord, you've inspired him as he's been preparing. And I just thank you for Alistair, Lord, as he faithfully brings, Lord, the ministry that you've put on his heart to us as a fellowship. I just thank you, Lord, that, Lord, he opens it up, Lord, to us, and he makes it easy, Lord, for us to understand in such a way, Lord. And so I just thank you, Lord, for Alistair now as he comes and brings your word once again. Amen.
Thank you very much, Steph. I wonder if you've ever had the misfortune of being hit in the face. I have a few times over the years, I guess. It's not a particularly pleasant experience. I've been hit in the face by a door, hit in the face by a rounder's bat, and hit in the face by a golf ball. It wasn't as bad as that. Perhaps I'm painting it really badly. I escaped pretty well unscathed, so I was very fortunate. But maybe you've had the misfortune of being hit in the face. Well, this morning we are continuing with our series called Praying the Psalms. And we're going to be looking at Psalm 10. And C.S. Lewis said that reading Psalm 10 is like being hit in the face. And he said this: reading Psalm 10 is like throwing open the door of an oven that's set to 500 degrees. You immediately get hit full in the face with the heat of the psalmist's fury. So Psalm 10 is probably written by David. It's a deeply emotive theological lament. And as you heard, it wrestles with the age-old questions. Good people seem to suffer. Bad people seem to get away with it, and God is nowhere to be seen. So I hope as we look at Psalm 10, as we see how David prayed, actually it'd be really helpful to us when we pray in our times of anguish and heartache and struggle. So let's see how David prayed. So first of all, David declares his questions, and it all begins very, very abruptly. David does not beat around the bush. He just launches straight into it. Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? I wonder if you've ever asked that. Why, Lord, do you play hide and seek? When our children were young, we used to play hide and seek with them. And I remember when Becca was probably about, maybe about 3 years old, we were staying with our grandparents, my grandparents, and they got a really, really large garden. And Becca wanted to play hide and seek in the garden. So I said to her, well, you go away and hide. I'll turn around, count to 30, then I'll come and find you. And she just sort of walked into the middle of the grass, stood there with her back to me, and covered her eyes. So I had to sort of explain to her in a little bit more detail how the game actually worked. I remember playing with Becca and Susie, hide and seek indoors. And I hid so well, they couldn't find me. And they began to get really upset. They thought I'd been kidnapped. If you're interested, I think, if I remember rightly, I was standing in the bath, hiding behind the shower curtain. But I had to put them out of their misery and come and say, you know, I hadn't been kidnapped after all. But what do you do in times of anguish and heartache and struggle, and it feels like God is playing hide and seek with you. Maybe your children or your grandchildren are a real source of concern, even heartbreak. They're not living in the way that you would hope. They're making some really bad choices. Maybe it's your health or the health of those you love that no matter who you see, what you take, just gets worse and worse. What if it's loss? And you grieve the people you love. And it's like just a dark cloud that envelops you. Maybe your marriage is fracturing. You're wondering if you're going to stay together. Maybe it's family issues, financial issues, loneliness, work struggles. What do you do in times of anguish and heartache and struggle, and it feels like God is playing hide and seek with you? Well, I'd like to remind you that it's okay to declare your questions. You know, sometimes I think Christians seem to think they've just got to suck it all up. Just got to get on with it. Just got to take it on the chin. Just got to grin and bear it. But I want to say it's okay to declare your questions. I think it's far better to ask God, why are you hiding yourself in times of trouble, than put on a sweet smile and go around pretending to everybody in church that you're absolutely fine and life is great. So much better, isn't it, to be honest and open with the Lord. Remember a well-known preacher called Adam Lisher. And Adam and his wife tragically lost their only son, Adam, to a brain tumour. He was a solicitor. He had just started work at the same practice as his mum. But he had this brain tumour. They'd realised this long-held ambition to work together, but he had this brain tumour, and sadly he passed away. In fact, he passed away just 12 days before the birth of his first daughter, baby girl. So did Richard Lisher and his wife know unspeakable agony? Of course they did. Did they know that anguish that sort of just gripped their stomach that made them sick every single day? Yeah, of course they did. Did they feel so sad sometimes they didn't even want to get out of bed? Never mind face people, face another day. Yeah, they did. Did they cry out to God? Why? Yes, of course they did. But they found great comfort in a Saviour who was with them, who understood their grief and what they were going through, who knew himself what it was to cry out, why, in anguish upon the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? So I want us to encourage us to follow the example of David and declare your questions. God is big enough to take even the biggest questions that you throw at him. So David declares his questions, but he doesn't stop there. He goes on to describe his complaint. Some of you may be familiar with the American comic strip, Calvin and Hobbes. Anybody heard of Calvin and Hobbes, or is it just me? Yeah, a few there. As you can see, Calvin's on the left. He's an adventurous, mischievous 6-year-old boy. Hobbes on the right is his friend. He's a tiger. And he's pretty cynical about life. And in one of the comic strips, they are walking together in the snow. And they start talking. And Calvin says this: some people complain all the time. They complain about the least little thing. He holds his head and grimaces. If something bugs them, they never let go of it. They just go on and on, long after anyone else is interested. It's just complain, complain, complain. People who gripe all the time really drive me nuts. You think they change the subject after a while, but they never do. They just keep griping until you start to wonder what's wrong with this idiot. But they go on complaining and repeating what they've already said. Hobbes rolls his eyes and says, maybe they're not very self-aware. To which Calvin says, boy, that's another thing that gets on my nerves. And so it goes on. After declaring his questions, David goes on to describe his complaint, verses 2 to 10. And he does it in great detail. He's looking around him at all the bad people, the evil people, the wicked people. He's looking at their lives, and he gives them quite a good description of what he sees when he looks around them at these bad, these evil, these wicked people. We'll highlight a few things he says. They're boasting. He boasts about the cravings of his heart. He blesses the greedy and reviles the Lord. Their affluence and arrogance. His ways are always prosperous. Your laws are rejected by him. He sneers at all his enemies. He says to himself, nothing will ever shake me. He swears no one will ever do me harm. They're foul-mouthed. His mouth is full of lies and threats. Trouble and evil are under his tongue. They're cruelty. He lies in wait near the villages. From ambush, he murders the innocent. His eyes watch in secret for his victims. Like a lion in cover, he lies in wait. He lies in wait to catch the helpless. He catches the helpless and drags them off in his net. So the bad people, the evil people, the wicked people, they boast and they sneer. They utter lies and threats. They hunt down the weak and they murder the innocent. And of course, at the root of it is what they think about the Lord. It's not that they don't believe in him. They just live as if he doesn't even exist. Verse 4. In his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. He says to himself, God will never notice. He covers his face and never sees. So it's not that they don't believe in God. They just live as if he doesn't exist. They reject his laws. They assume that they will just get away with it and never be called to account. So after declaring his questions, you can see that David goes on to describe his complaint, and he does it in great detail. You know, sometimes I think it's tempting to think that we need to get ourselves sorted out before we come to the Lord in prayer, rather than come before him, tears streaming in grief, heart pounding in fear, shoulders sagging, exhaustion, mind overwhelmed with questions. But another little quote from C.S. Lewis, and I like this. We must lay before him, before the Lord, what is in us, not what ought to be in us. And that's what David does. Just lays before the Lord what's in him. So what are your struggles this morning? What temptations are you facing? What are the strongholds in your life that need breaking? What's the heartache, the questions, the confusion, the perplexity that is gripping you at the morning, this morning? Well, like David, we come just as we are to worship. Jesus, take me as I am. I can come no other way. We just come into God's presence with our brokenness, our vulnerability, our weakness, just as David does, and we pour out our hearts to him. No mask, no facade, no front. Here I am, Lord, and this is how I feel today. I'm not going to let you have it between the eyes. We must lay before him what's in us, not what ought to be in us. David describes his complaint. John Bunyan, 17th century Puritan preacher, author of Pilgrim's Progress. He's talking about honesty in prayer. And he says this: sincerity opens its heart to God and tells him the case plainly. That's what David's just done. And look at this: true prayer feels, sighs, groans, and bubbles out of the heart as some heavy burden lies upon it, or indeed some sweet sense of mercy received is appreciated. Oh, the heat, strength, life, vigor, and affection that's in true prayer. David describes his complaint. In sincerity, his heart is open to God, and he tells God the case plainly. But he doesn't stop there. David deepens his commitment, finally. I mean, it's wonderful to see David's faith journey in this psalm. I mean, David is hurting. He is struggling. He's in all sorts of trouble. And he begins by declaring his questions. You remember what they were? They're a couple of cracking questions. Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? He then goes on to describe his complaint. He does in great detail. The bad people, the evil people, the wicked people, they boast and they sneer. They utter lies and threats. They hunt down the weak. They murder the innocent. It's not that they don't believe in God. They just live as if he doesn't exist. They reject all his laws. They assume that they can just live their lives, get away with it, never be called to account. But here's the important thing. David doesn't stop there. After declaring his questions and describing his complaints, he returns again to the Lord. And he reminds himself of two really important truths. First of all, David reminds himself of God's presence. But you, God, see the trouble of the afflicted. You consider their grief and take it in hand. And I wonder if that is a verse for one of you here this morning. However you feel, I want to remind you that God isn't distant and he's not hiding. He's not playing hide and seek. He's not aloof. He's a personal God. He knows your troubles. He understands your grief. He weeps with your tears. He sees what you are going through. And look at that last little phrase. He takes it in hand. So you may not feel his presence. You may not hear his voice. You may not see his form. But whatever it is you've got going on in your life this morning, he's taken it in hand. And that's where it is. And I want you to remember that. God has it in hand, whatever it may look like all around you. And, don't rely on feelings. Rely on his unfailing love. Remember the example of Jeremiah. Jeremiah had loads of questions. And not only that, he had loads of complaints. And he lists off his questions. He lists off his complaints. But just like David, he reminds himself of the presence of the Lord. Remember these words from Lamentations 3. You may remember the latter part of the verses. This is Jeremiah. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. That was his life, bitter. I well remember them. My soul is downcast within me. My bitter life is making me downcast. But he doesn't stop there. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Why not? For his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That is a great verse to begin Monday morning. When you wake up, Lord, I praise you, your compassions never fail. I praise you that they are new every morning. I praise you that your faithfulness is great. David reminds himself of God's presence. And then he reminds himself of God's power. Verse 16, the Lord is King forever and ever. He reminds himself of God's presence. He reminds himself of God's power. And because our God sees what we're going through, and because he's king, he's got the power to do something about it, if it's in accordance with his gracious purpose for our lives. He's king forever and ever. If I said to you, an apple that thinks heavy thoughts, and thinks all apples sometimes think, apparently has really serious ramifications mentally. You might say to me, you what? It's a way of remembering the Egyptian pharaohs of the New Kingdom. There they are. And no, I'm not, before you ask. If I said to you, another tomcat caught napping, you might say to me, you what? It's a way of remembering the first five Roman emperors, all of whom have the title Caesar, Augustus, Tiberius, Caligula, Claudius, Nero. If I said to you, no plan like yours to study history wisely, anybody remember that one? Maybe that's perhaps a more well-known one from history at school. Know what that helps you remember? You do. The royal houses. Norman, Plantagenet, Lancaster, York, Tudor, Stuart, Hanover, Windsor. Here's the point. Every king, every queen, every ruler, every emperor, every generation, every civilization, it comes and it goes. But the Lord is King forever and ever. So David reminds himself of God's presence, and he reminds himself of God's power. The Lord is King forever and ever. David begins almost in a time of despair, doesn't he? All these questions, all these complaints. But towards the end of the psalm, he's now resting in this calm assurance in the eternal reign, the eternal sovereignty, the eternal love of the God who's got him and all that he's going through in hand. And where better place is there for us to be than safe in the arms of a loving, reigning, sovereign God who's got us and what we're going through absolutely safe in his hands. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you again for the wonderful privilege of prayer. And we're so grateful, Father, that we don't have to pretend with you. We don't have to wear a mask. We don't have to pretend that we're something that we're not, that we can come just as we are into your presence. With all our questions, with all our complaints, with all our anguish, our heartaches and our struggles. Thank you, Father, so much for the privilege of talking to you about ourselves and all that's going in our lives and in the lives of those we love. But we want to thank you too, Father, for the wonder of your love. We know, Lord, that there's nothing in all creation that can ever separate us from your love, which is ours in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And we know too that you are King forever and ever. And we pray so much, Lord, that you would help us just to be able to rest in your eternal love and your eternal reign and your eternal kingship. Thank you, Lord, that in the midst of turbulent lives, a turbulent world, that you are King forever and ever. And in that we trust, in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing one final song. It's probably the most well-known hymn about prayer. It's What a Friend We Have in Jesus, All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear. It's written by a man called Joseph Scriven, as you can see there. I think he was, I'm not sure if he's Irish, he certainly went to Trinity College Dublin, and he lived in Canada for many years. He actually wrote this hymn for his mum. His mum was having a terrible time of sorrow and heartache, so he wrote this song, this poem for her, never intending it to be seen by anyone else. So here we are today, singing perhaps one of the greatest hymns to encourage us to pray. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh. So let's pray together. Now may God be your comfort and your strength. May God be your hope and your support. And may God be your light and your way. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us for always. Amen.